appropriate dinner.
Okay, here we go, guys. We're going to try to do two halachas if we can. Two huge Rambams.
Is this
yes, sir. Two sheets. Two. From Ilas Hilchas Malvulova Perek Shloshasor, chapter 13, law 3. Okay. We are discussing this idea again of collecting the shtar, the debt, when the borrower is not present. And we talked about if a person wants to collect with a shtar in his hands, how he can do it without the person being present. Okay. Now we're going to discuss collecting the debt, but not with the shtar, but with the mashkin that the borrower is already holding. And when it doesn't get paid after 30 days, we know you can sell the mashkin and deal with it. However, how are we going to do this when the lender is not present? That's what Halacha Gimel is going to discuss. Malva Shabala Bezdin Vehevi Mashkin Beyado. The lender comes to Bezdin. He's got a mashkin in his hand. This is the thing he was holding to pay for the debt. Viomani says, Zem Mashkono Shalplonihu. This is the mashkin that so-and-so the borrower gave me. We have to add in between the lines. And it's more than 30 days since I've held it. And after 30 days, you can collect it. You can cash it out.
And he doesn't need it.
Yeah, of course, all those details have been dealt with. Vani rotsa lemochro, I want to sell it, vali parachovi, and collect my debt. Whatever I get, let's say the debt was $100, I have a watch, I want to sell it, get my $100, and I'll be finished. But the borrower's not there. So now, what do we do? So we do not say, ain't Bezdin is skokin lor. Bezdin does not have to get involved to the extent to say, hamtein, no, you gotta wait. Achiyavalova, until the borrower can come, and then he can counterclaim and say, no, maybe I paid, or whatever, this and that. We don't wait for Yitonim for him to make his counterclaims. Now, why, and instead, what will happen is, the lender will be able to sell this. He will have to make an oath, saying that he hasn't been paid back, but he doesn't have to wait. Why? Shimrotzom, because if he wanted this migu, now this migu, you have to be very careful what the migu is good for and what the migu is not good for. This migu is good for that he could sell it at the price that he claims it is and what is owed to him, and he'll be able to collect the money that he wants. Because if he wanted, that's the migu who helped him with that. Because if he wanted to say, he could have said, Lakua chubiyodi, he could have said, I just bought this from somebody, and this wasn't a mashkin at all. Now he only can say this under circumstances where we don't know it's a mashkin. Let's say something that's usually not lent out to other people. It's not well known that it belongs to the owner. It's a kind of unidentifiable type of a mashkin where he could get away with such a claim. Because if he wanted, he could say, this is mine.
But if it's the guy's personalized luggage.
Well, we're not talking about that. So he could say that, Huyadi, Omer, he could just say, listen, I bought it. And therefore, we'll believe him what? He still must make an oath, we'll believe him now in terms of what he said is owed to him and how much he's going to collect out of the thing he sells, and he's going to get that. And we're not going to say, well, no, maybe we should wait for the guy because he has the migu. The migu helps that he doesn't have to wait. The migu helps we believe him for selling for what he says it's worth. But the migu does not help to have him avoid making the oath.
Yeah.
As we'll see at the end of the Rambam why it is so. However, even though he's doing this, Bezdin gives him a good piece of advice. He says, okay, you could sell it, you don't have to wait, but take our advice, sell it in front of witnesses that see how much you sold it for and you got a decent price for it and what you took for it. Why? Because when the borrower will come back, he'll say, what did you sell that for? And he's going to say, what you sold? He says, no, it was worth way more than that. What are you talking about? What are you telling me? You only collect that 100 of that? She got 500 for that. More. Well, it's not around anymore to discuss. And now we can have a whole sichsoch. So therefore, get witnesses that see that you got 100 for it, and that's what it was worth, and you got the 100 and paid your debt, and there's no more argument. So the lova will know how much it was actually sold for, and he won't complain that maybe he sold it more, maybe he got more, and he's been cheating him. So just have witnesses to avoid any technical difficulties afterwards. But aside from that, he really doesn't have to have witnesses. He can go out and sell it. we believe that he's being honest over here, because if he wanted to lie, he could have lied and said he bought it, but that migu will help to that extent, but not to the extent that he doesn't need to make an oath. Similar type of scenario, but a different scenario, but a similar halacha. Let's say the guy borrows, takes a mashkin, the borrower dies, Ramalva, and the lender dies. So now it's the inheritors collecting from the inheritors. It doesn't matter if the borrower dies first, or the lender dies first, where in other items there would be a difference in halacha, but here, it won't make a difference. Since the inheritor, son of the malva, the borrower, has the mashkin, right? So since he has it, he's going to pay from which is under his hand. He's holding on to it. Now, if he wanted to, he also could have said, he could have said, I bought it. Again, same type of item where he could have said that. As opposed to wanting to collect a debt. You know, if, like the cases before, you want to go to the bezin and take money. Here, you got an object in front of you. You could have said, listen, I bought it. So, he still has to make an oath that he said that my father never told me that the debt was paid off. He says, as far as I know, I swear, my father never said he collected it. It's still an outstanding debt. That's the oath he makes. Benikita Shev is holding on to a sefer Torah. That's like a biblical oath. He makes an oath like any other case where you swear to take. When you're initial, there's different types of oaths, but when you're swearing to take, that's like a biblical oath. You want to collect, because still in all, maybe the guy paid you back. Okay, you have proof that you have a debt because you got a collateral, right? You got a collateral. You're saying this is a collateral. But maybe the guy paid it off, right? So you have to make an oath that it didn't get paid off, and this is the collateral, and you want to be collecting the collateral, so you have to make an oath. Now the question is, why do we not say, for example, that he really biblically does not have to make an oath, and maybe he only has to make a rabbinic oath, which is really only on denials. Why does he not make a rabbinical oath? Because after all, the mashkin is in his possession. So it's not like he's taking from somebody, he just wants to hold on to it. Usually, a biblical oath is when you want to take something from somebody, make a biblical oath. Rabbinical oath, the guy says, hey, give me back what's mine. He says, what are you talking about? It's not yours. You want to take it away from me, and I want to deny.
Don't we say possession is 9/10 of the law?
That's denial. That's only a rabbinical. So why don't we make a rabbinical oath over here? Because after all, you're just holding on to the mashkin, and you want to just use the mashkin. The answer is no, because it's not really the mashkin. You don't want to hold on to the mashkin. The mashkin is just the wherewithal to collect. You're not really swearing on the mashkin per se yourself that it's his, but rather ella al hamamin shalkeh, but the money that you're going to get by selling the mashkin. So therefore, it's just like taking where you have to make an oath as well. For if it would be a little bit different scenario, then I would agree a shvus hesus helps. What if it would have been a different scenario? He would just take a look at this object and say, you know, atom machartel, you sold it to me. Atona sadly gave it to me. Guy says, you know, you got my thing. He says, no, you gave it to me. You sold it to me. Now what do we do? Well, I have it. You want to take it away from me? You can't. Okay, you can make me make a rabbinic oath that I deny that I stole it. Hayanishba hesus v'nifter. Then you make a rabbinic thing and you get off the hook. But that's not the case over here. Here you took it as a mashkin. What you want to do with that mashkin is sell it and collect money, not hold on. So therefore, in both cases, where the lender is alive himself and has the mashkin, or the inheritors or the lender have the mashkin, in both cases a biblical oath is made, and then you can collect it. The Rambam is going to now avolim hayusham edim shechevitz a mashkin biyarab. What if there's witnesses already that know this is a mashkin? So he doesn't have that ability to say, if I wanted to say, I could have said I bought it. And they don't know how much the loan was worth. In other words, the witnesses know that it's a mashkin, but they don't know how much it's worth. And he wants to now sell it and take the money. He doesn't have this migu to say, well, if I want to say, I could have bought it. So, he can't take it again, only with a shvua, with a biblical oath, since there's witnesses on it. Now, the truth of the matter is, this is not just a new law, but rather it's a continuation of explaining why an oath has to be made, even if there's no witnesses that know it's an oath. This Rambam is a misleading part of the Rambam now. At this point in the Rambam, you think that next part of the Rambam is just telling us a new case. It's not really taking us a new case. It's giving us a further reason why the biblical oath is required in this situation. Because had there been a situation where there were witnesses, he would have to collect it with a shvua. He couldn't get out of that. Even though now there is no witnesses, it doesn't matter. So this is explaining why, even though now there were no witnesses that he took the mashkin, we still have to make the oath. That's what the Rambam is trying to tell us. He's saying, because if there were witnesses that he borrowed it, although we just don't know how much the loan was for, he couldn't just take it. He'd have to make an oath, because there's witnesses who saw it and know that the mashkin's in his hand. You don't have a migu to say you bought it. For whole, and since that's the case, if there were witnesses, he would have to swear by holding on to the object. So now, even if there aren't witnesses now, ve'ein shom edim, and there are no witnesses, ve'yochel lomer, and he could say, shali, it's mine, neman lomer, he believed to say, he's allowed to believe that this is how much it was worth, and he makes the oath. He owes me this much money. So that's what the migu would help for. The migu helps that we believe how much he says it's for, it's worth.
He could have said,
and that's when there are no witnesses that he took the mashkin. If there were witnesses he took the mashkin, he'd have to make an oath, but it wouldn't be, he wouldn't have any migu. The migu will only help that we'll believe how much he says it's for, because he could have said he bought it. But the migu will not, because he would have had to swear if there were waiting, there was a mashkin. But now that the fact that there aren't witnesses, the migu won't help to absolve him from an oath. That's the point. Shein omri migu lepotcha mishvua. The Rambam holds like the shitas of Gaonim that we don't say a migu, since I could have tied it better, I don't have to make an oath now. Migu never potters you from a shvua. Elepotcha mishvua, it potters you from money. And in this specific case, what does the migu help you with? So yachzer amashkin achito mashaton. He doesn't have to. He can return it when he just makes the claim how much it was for. In other words, he will be believed as to what the worth of the object is. He's not the migu helps to say if I wanted to lie, I could have said I bought it. It only helps him that we'll believe him for how much he says the migu is the debt is for. That will be, it won't help him to absolve him from the oath. And that's the point. But if there were witnesses, he'd have to make a shvua anyway. The shvua is made regardless, because there's no migu that gets you out of that. So therefore, the migu helps that we believe him, but not that what it pays, but it doesn't believe him to get him out of the oath. Okay. Dalet is lengthy, but incredibly not hard.
That's incredibly not hard.
It's seven scenarios. It's the same concept, but different ways of looking at it. Let's go over three quick introductory comments that you all know, but if we keep them fresh in our mind, Allah will be better for us. Number one, if a person makes a claim for something and there's no shtar, and the defendant says, I don't own any money, then what happens? Biblically, there's no oath.
Well, like
he just makes a shvuas heses, yeah. And he says, I don't know, and that's it. That's what the guy claims, the guy totally denies, he makes a shvuas heses. On the other hand, if the guy is a modem amixis, if he admits partially, part I accept, I owe, part I deny, then there's a biblical oath of a shvua of modem amixis. What if there's a case where he admits he owes something, but he can't swear to that, and we'll see why. So he's obliged to swear, but he's not able to swear, then he has to pay everything. In other words, if the guy says, you owe me 100, he says, I agree, I owe you 50, I deny 50.
That's motive and mixer.
So you swear, I don't owe you 50, and you pay the 50. Well, the guy says, you know, you owe me 100, he says, I'll tell you one thing, I know I owe you 50, but I don't know about the other 50. So he can't swear to deny that 50.
Right.
Then, since he can't
but
swear...
But you can swear that I owe you 50.
No, he says, I owe you, didn't pay anything. Yes, you owe me 100. He says, I know. I admit for sure you have 50. Oh. I'm not sure about the other 50.
Okay, motive mix.
I know. No, it's not a motive mix. Motive mix says, I deny owing you 50. I admit 50 and I deny 50. This is not that. He's saying, I know I owe you 50 and I can't deny them because I'm not sure.
He's saying that the loan wasn't 100 to begin with. It was only 50.
No.
He's not saying that. He's saying it could very well be 100.
He's not sure.
I know for sure it was 50 and it could be more and I'm not sure. Now, he can't swear. There's nothing he can swear to. He can't swear that I don't owe you the 50. Then he has to pay all 100.
Yeah, it has to.
So those are the three halachas that, as an introduction, makes this very clear now. Okay? All different scenarios. Basically, what's going to happen here, there's going to be a loan. The creditor is holding on to a mashkin. A creditor who's holding on to the mashkin has a law of a shomer sachar. So he's responsible if it gets lost or stolen. So now what happens is the creditor, while he was holding the object got lost or stolen. So he's got to pay back. There's two things. The borrower has to pay back the loan,
original loan,
but the creditor has to pay back what got the mash got lost. And now we have to see split. We have to
can
work
wash,
with the difference.
Can it be a wash?
Is it a wash? Is it not? And what if there's a debate how much the mashkin was worth? Mm. Now that, and sometimes the debate could be to want to make the malva collect less, and sometimes the lova will be able to collect from the malva. It was a very big mashkin. Because you know, one thing about a mashkin can either be equal to the value of the loan?
Less or more.
Less or more.
One of the
they all could be mashkins. And that's going to be the debate in this case where there's no agreement as to what the value of the mashkin was. So
usually
there's
more or equal.
That, not necessarily. Less. It could be worth less. But that's all he had to show him. So there's seven different scenarios the Rambam's going to go through, and let's hope we can do them all quickly. But you have enough introduction, it should go smoothly now. Hamav is chaver al mashkin. A guy lends him something, and he lends him, but he's holding a mashkin. V'avro nigna v'lo oynis, and it gets lost or stolen. It's not an accident, so the malva, the lender, is obliged to pay back for the mashkin got lost. Shamalva chayv v'dvei mashkin. The malva is like a shomer sacher who has to pay back for the mashkin that got lost. K'mosh barner, as has already been explained earlier in the laws of schiras. V'amra malva. So the malva says like this. Sela halvisach. I lent you a sela. A sela is 4 dinars. So let's just say $4 to make it simple. I lent you $4. You owe me $4. Ushne didorim hayeshava. The mashkin was only worth $2. So what does it come out? The lender is saying, okay, I take off two, but you still owe me two. That's my claim. Velovomer, but the borrower says, Sela Hilvisani Alov, I borrow the sell, which is 4 dinars. Now here's a typo. You have to say not shekel, but Visela Hayashava. And the collateral was also worth a sell, so I owe you nothing. So in effect, what is the Lova saying? The Malva is saying, you now owe me $2. The Lova is saying, I owe you nothing. That's a kofer bakol. He's denying everything. So what should be the halacha? So halacha is Hare Hamalve. Now there's something else has to happen over here. Wait a minute. Since he has a law of a shomer sacher, maybe he's lying. Maybe he's got it stashed away. Like every shomer, no matter what he claims, even if he pays, he has to make an oath that I'm not holding on to it. So the first thing is, Hare Amalva Nishbatchil, the Malva has to first make an oath, the Shvuas HaShomer, the regly oath that any shomer sacher makes who has to pay, that he doesn't have. He's not done no shenanigans. It's really lost. Okay, but you still owe me two. And the guy's denying two. Complete denial. Valova nishbahesis. And the lova makes a rabbinic oath of total denial. Shayashava kenegadachov nivna. He says, no, it was worth four and I owe you nothing. And that's a classic case of it's total denial. Because the malva is only asking for two. And the lova is saying, I owe you nothing. So he's denying the total two. So what do you do when someone makes a claim totally denied? Rabbinic oath, shuas hesis, and then he doesn't pay. Why do we have to make the malva make the oath? Let's let the lova make the oath first. Very simple. If the lova makes the oath first, and then the malva says, well, you know, the truth of the matter is I really had it the whole time. Then the lova made an oath for no reason.
Right.
So we have to be clear. Right. You know, people say a lot of things, but don't necessarily mean it. So therefore, the malva first has to say, I really don't have it. So it really is a real case. Once he swears he doesn't have it, now we'll deal with what's on the ground. Is it two or nothing? Then we do that. Second case. Avraham Malva, the Malva now, so the first case, the Malva wanted money from the Lova. And the Lova was total denial. How about this case? Avraham Malva, Malva says, Sela v'sichalav v'shekel ha'yeshava. I lent you four, and the thing is worth two. Again. Yeah. So you only owe me, two. V'alova omer, slosa v'san, you lent me four, u'shloshit non-hershav, but it was worth three. So what does it come out? He's not saying, I don't owe you nothing.
I owe you one.
He's saying, I owe you one. So what is the emotive amixas? You're claiming two. I admit one, but I deny one. So, yishba hamalva tchila. So the malva first has to make the oath, shein v'rishus, he doesn't have it.
Right.
That it's no shenanigans.
So it's a real case.
Yishba halova, then the lova swears, kama shava, how much he feels it was worth, which is three. Shari hoda b'mixas, he admits partially. V'shalma dinar pays the one dinar.
That's it.
And gets off the hook on that. So these are the first two where the malva is the aggressor, where he wants to get paid, and either a full oath denial or modem mixes partial. Now we're going to reverse it. The next two cases is where the loan is going to be the aggressive one, because he's going to say that the mashka was worth more than the loan, and therefore he wants money from the malva. Next case, three. Amar aloiva, sela hilvisani olav, ushtaim hoishova. The lova says, I borrowed something worth four, but the mashkin was worth eight. Two selas was worth eight dinars. So you owe me four dinars. You lost something worth eight. Hoishova, malva, no, says no. Sela vizichalov, I lent you something worth four. Viselashova, and the collateral is worth four. So far you owe nothing. It's a wash. So he totally denies the four that the lova claims.
So you've got to say.
So what happens? Yeshava ha-malva. The malva first has to make the routine oath. Sheinu b'rishus doesn't have it, but once he's throwing that in, even though he's a kofar b'kol, which only would need a rabbinic shuas heses, but since he's already making a biblical oath, so what does throw in another clause? The kol of b'shuza and incorporating the oath, shaya mashin ha-chov, that I owe you nothing. We're throwing in the rabbinic content of the onto the biblical oath
that's
that condition. He's making.
Yes, Gilgal.
He's really denying it. He was denying. He was saying it was worthless. He's saying I agree it was worth four.
That's not motive in excess. Because the guy say you owe me four, he says I owe you nothing. It's not motive in excess. Motive in excess says I admit I owe you something.
Yeah.
Right? Now we're going to have a case of motive in excess now. Omar Lov, let's say the borrower says, Selavi Sicha Lov, I borrowed four, Ushtaimer Shavit was worth eight. Vamalvamer, no, Selvi Sicha Lov, I did lend you four. Vechamishon Hemers, and it was worth five, and therefore I only owe you one. I admit I owe you one, but I deny I owe you an extra three. So again, Yeshava Malva Shenu Bereshus. So the Malva first has to swear he doesn't have it. V'yichol he incorporates Shlo Yeshava Yeshachom. It wasn't worth more than five dinar. Yeshava dinar, and then he pays the dinar. Good. So we have two in one way, two the other way. Now we go back to the Malva being the aggressor. What if the Malva says Sela Hilvi Sicha Olav? Okay, I lent you four. Ushnei dinar Yeshava, and the mashkin is worth two, so you owe me two. Valova, remember, says, you know what? Eini yodea damav. I don't know what the value of the mashkin was. I don't know what it was. You say I owe you two. I say, I don't know. I don't know. Could be worth four. Could be worth two. I don't know. So now what do you do? So you shove a malvah. The malvah swears shein b'rishus, he doesn't have it. The kol al b'shuasa. Now, since the guy doesn't know, the malvah can collect because he's not going against a firm claim. But he has to make an oath to be able to collect. So on top of saying he doesn't have it, v'kol v'shvas, he also makes oath, sh'shnei d'arm ha'yashav, it was worth two, and you owe me two, v'sham alova v'shachav, and the alova has to pay the rest, since he's not sure, bari v'shem or bari adif,
right.
Since the guy says, I know you owe me two, the guy says, I don't know, so swear that he owes you two, swear that it was worth two, sh'hi yudeh b'vada, he is clear, the lender, sh'chayv lo, and the other guy, v'eni yudeh, but he doesn't know if he paid him back. And he didn't pay him back, so therefore he has to pay him back because it's a bori against a avada against a shema. All right, how about the next? Again, the malva, the aggressor, sell of his son. I lent you four. A love shemesh was worth two. You owe me two. V'malva omer eini yodea damav. I don't know the value of it. Eini yodea damav. Well, how's this different now? One second.
Lender doesn't know how much.
I'm sorry, reversed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, let's reverse it. I'm sorry, made a mistake. Let's go back. The guy says...
Which way? This
the borrower now? Says, yeah. I borrowed a seller from you. I'm sorry, I didn't say it right. The borrower claims, you lent me four, and I gave a collateral of eight. So now you owe me four. Okay? That's back to the earlier case, right? You owe me four. But Malvin, the Malvin now says, I don't know what it's worth. So it's the exact opposite of the case before. So Yeshava ha-malva she'en b'rishus. The first malva says, I ain't got it. V'yichol, he has to incorporate, also, she'en yodea b'damav. Yeser al-chov. She'en yodea, he doesn't know, she'damav yeser, he doesn't know if it's worth more than what the debt is. So I don't know if I owe the guy money. Afilu p'ragas, I don't know. V'yipoter, and he doesn't have to pay. Why does he not have to pay? Because he didn't obligate himself for anything to begin with. Why is that different than the case before? It's exactly the same case as the other one, but this time if he says, I don't, Yishav Malo She'ena Revichu, She'ena Yodeh, he says, I don't know if it's more than what I, here's the difference. Because in the case of the borrower for sure owed him money. But in the case of the lender, we don't know if the lender for sure owed him money. Yeah. And that's the difference. Yeah. So when the guy for sure owes him money, then he's got to pay him. But the lender doesn't for sure owe him money. Yeah. The lender never owed him money. The case of the borrower, he for sure owed him money. And the guy is saying, you still owe me money. And now you want, I don't know how to get myself out of that, so you got to pay. But here, the lender never owed any money. And now you want to suggest that he owes you money. Well, he doesn't know. When the guy always says, you know, you owe me money. He says, I don't know. If the guy comes and I don't owe him any money, and I say, I don't know, I don't got to pay. But if I know you owe me money, you're just not sure if you paid me back. Well, then you already know you owed me money. Then you got to pay. That's the difference.
Well, it's Shema versus Vada.
Okay, how about this, though? What if the Malva says, I know it was worth more than four. I know it was worth more than four. But I don't know how much it was worth more than four. So he wants to be a motive of mixas, but he doesn't know what to say is a motive. He has nothing to swear about. So he's a motive of mixas, but he can't swear because he doesn't know how much it is. All right, he says, Mishalom kol mashon alova b'loshua. He has to pay everything the lova wants, and the lova doesn't have to make a shvua.
Wow.
This is after the malva obviously makes the full claim. It's just like a case of where a guy claims 100, and a guy says, Chamishim yesh lo b'yadi. He says, 50 I agree, yeah, but chamishim any idea. I don't know. So what do we say? Well, you're chayv on the other 50, but you can't make an oath on that. Shumachuyiv shvuyiv any yochli shova, and he's got to pay. So the same thing over here. So comes the guy, says, I admit that it was worth more than four. I admit it was something, but I don't know how much it was. So he's a motor of a mitzvah, but he can't swear on the motor of a mitzvah. So therefore he has to pay the entire four, because he can't swear. If he could swear, he could get out of it. However, he says, but if anybody knows the truth and is holding back, and if you're lying to me, you can make a cherem. If you're lying falsely, and it makes me be falsely, I can impose a cherem on you if you want to be a bad guy.